Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, the roadshow continues here. The roadshow continues here with Montana Talks. I tell you, it was such a great time when we were in Plentywood for the Farm Expo on Friday morning. And then on into Tuesday, Travis, send me a message. Make sure you're hearing me. I'm just not hearing myself as well in my own headset here, but that could just be my headset. As long as we're going out over the radio, we're good to go here. Yeah, such an incredible time. You know, we had the Farm Expo in Plentywood, hung out through lunch there at the Civic Center, and then stopped in and saw some friends at the Bum Steer on the way over to Scobie, and then, of course, finally made it to Schmeckfest in Luster on Friday night for the incredible Schmeckfest. I mean, I'll tell you what I was thinking about is like Luster and Luster Christian High School and all the folks that were gathered in the gym there. It was just like a little slice of heaven. The people, everything. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And so it was great to be there for that. And then of course we had to bus to get back by 1 o'clock in the morning because we had some events in Billings over the weekend, but the roadshow continues. And today we are broadcasting live from the Little Horn Market in Lodge Grass, Montana. And I'll tell you, I finally get a chance to meet somebody I've been wanting to meet for a few years here. I've heard so many incredible things about the Lodge Grass mayor. I just knew him as Mayor Quincy, Lodge Grass Mayor Quincy Dabney, right? Did I get that right there, Mr. Mayor? Good to see you. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, let me get the right microphone on there. I have a little trouble with the buttons from time to time, as you can see.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, good morning.
Well, good morning. Great to see you. Well, first off, how do you describe Lodge Grass, Montana, to folks who've never been here?
I would say this green, beautiful valley that when you're driving on the highway north to south, you just can't miss it. It's just kind of sticks out from the highway. And once you get in, obviously small town, and first thing you get to see is our one and only IGA, and Valley of the Chiefs in Crow. It's called Oshpajacha, Valley of the Chiefs.
Valley of the Chiefs. And yeah, a lot of kind of historic ranches here in the area as well. I mean, a lot of kind of Billings families. When I end up talking, I'm amazed at how many Billings families are saying, oh, yeah, our family ranch history goes back to Lodge Grass, Montana. Before the interstate moved in, it was a very vibrant, bustling business community here as well.
It was. We had 45 businesses, two of each, and it was crowned the gem of the Crow Reservation with everything, and just the stories that go back. You know, in those days, I think the speeding limit was still 55, and but every weekend families would come over, and yeah, there was so much of
the
central
gathering, the crown
here.
of the Crow Reservation. Well, we'll talk more with Mayor Quincy right after this. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're here in Lodge Grass at the Little Horn Market with Mayor Quincy. And, Mr. Mayor, it's the fall of 2020. I run into the former NFL great Tuff Harris, and I said, how are things going? Now, it was fall of 2020. There was a lot of COVID craziness, a lot of impacts to kids and schools and the economy. And he said, you know what? Let me tell you about some of the good. He said, man, there's a basketball coach in Lodge Grass, mm-hmm. Coach Josh Stewart. He may be with us before the end of the hour. And this Mayor Quincy, he's just doing some incredible things out there. You've been on the job for about 7 years as mayor here in Lodge Grass. What have you been doing? Because I've just heard so many incredible things about you.
Right. I had to clean up. I knew I had to clean. So actually the year before I got mayor, I did a community cleanup. I did hot dogs, hamburgers, and I just kind of wanted to reinstill in the people that, hey, you're not forgotten. I thought maybe a nonprofit would go. But next thing, the mayor was coming up, and I was like, oh, I'm not a politician. I don't know if I'm going to go that route. And everyone was like, great. We don't want politicians. And so, anyway, I ran as a write-in, and I got a crazy amount of votes, and everything kicked off from there. So I kept my cleanups going on the ground. And once mayor got in, you know, we just went after all the abandoned homes, abandoned trailers, alleyways. And it was just the vision of making our community look beautiful again.
So starting by cleaning up this town, literally, like it's like the young man on the Back to the Future. I'm going to clean up this town someday, right? That's what it reminds me of. And then, you know, one of the other folks who heard that we were going to be down here on Lodgegrass, and she came down to join us as well, is Stacy Zinn, mm-hmm. who headed up the DEA before she had to retire. And, of course, there's been some high-profile arrests. Yeah. But she was telling me that you were the mayor who said, look, we got to do something about these drug cartels here. These drug cartels are targeting our communities. And so you were the mayor that stepped up and said, we got to do something because we've got a fight on our hands down here.
Yeah, I mean, to a lot of people, that seems like that was the first call, but I wasn't able to connect with Stacy originally. I had to use food, so we did food distributions. I used the boxes to get to the people in addiction because I knew everybody, and then eventually to get into the drug homes. So that was crazy, but I have this belief in people that it's up to them, but people can change. And if you show people when they are in that dark spot that, hey man, you do have value, your identity is just off, and just let them know, hey, I believe in you. We pulled a lot of people out, but you know, there's that hole where people are just influenced by what they've been in over the decades, over the years of drugs and everything. And they just aren't able to pull out. So that next avenue would be Stacy. And that was huge because when it comes down to it, you know, we are fighting for our future, our kids, that generation, our elders, keep them safe. There was a lot of, you know, just elder abuse within the house when the grandparents are taking care of the kids, stealing, whatever, you name it. And it was just time for someone to stand up and try to be that protector.
So, yeah, when I heard the mayor was going to come down, I pictured an older fella, you know. Yeah, you're a young guy, a fit guy, so whatever workout routine you're working on, we're going to get some workout tips from you after this. You were telling me, though, I mean, you had a good life going. You were coal mining,
yeah.
Making some decent money. You're getting your nice house all going. And you finally said, man, I got a nice life here, but I got to clean up my town. And then now you're taking on the fight trying to clean up the drug cartel mess and everything else, not just the literal trash, but the cartel mess and more.
Like Dylan had mentioned, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't God. I was coal mining. I was very good at what I did, but one day I said this was my prayer. I said, God, I don't want to be a number anymore. I want to work for you. And the ball started rolling, and I eventually left the coal mining, and that's when I did the cleanup. That's when I ran into Tuff, and Tuff kind of really guided me on a vision of what I thought was going to be the nonprofit, but eventually was the mayor. So yeah, I didn't feel complete because my heart for people, and I think that was where I did feel complete. Was it's not about the money, it's not about anything, but just seeing people find their identity again. And just to see people realize that people are out there that care and that love again.
You know, it's almost like a tale of two cities that you see here in Lodgegrass, but you see it in Billings, you see it on the High Line. You know, I was just in Glasgow cruising through, saw some friends from Poplar, Plentywood, etc. But, you know, even in Kalispell, I mean, all across the state, it's like a tale of two cities. You have incredible communities with incredible people, but this drug problem and the crime problem is just a major battle right now.
It is, yeah. Battle's the perfect word. It's war. You know, my first year, I went and got my concealed carry. I carried all the time. I think kind of maybe people forget where we were then, 2015, 16, 17, and how dangerous it was to where it is now. I mean, our kids can walk around. Before then, it was just, I mean, man, it was wild. There was just, it was just lawlessness. So that's why I see the community. If you bring a positive influence, obviously you have to unite on some sort of foundation. And sometimes it's basketball, which Josh would hit beautifully because Josh is, has done such a great job there. But yeah, just kind of building an army again of people who care about their community and are ready to take it back.
And it's just remarkable to hear how faith is this common common identifier here with Dylan in the grocery store, mm-hmm. and his dad running the church, and what you're doing stepping up as mayor, and what Tough Harris is doing with One Heart Warriors, and what Coach Stewart has done with the Lodgegrass.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've got open microphones here at the Littlehorn Market in Lodgegrass. Seriously, you don't have to be the mayor. You don't have to be the Crow Tribe Energy Director. He's coming too, by the way. Our friend CJ Stewart, he's on the way. Looking forward to seeing him. But yeah, you don't have to be the mayor or the grocery store owner to join us. We've got open microphones for anybody who wants to come down and see us. In fact, Stacy Zinn, who was the head of the DEA at the time, when we were on the radio talking about the drug cartels, and I remember mentioning Lodgegrass, Montana in particular, Stacy, and by the way, she heard we were going to be down here. She came down to join us on the program as well, recently retired as the head of the DEA. But I remember we were on the radio at the time and we were saying, hey, look, the drug cartels are operating in places like Lodgegrass, Montana. And then since that time, there have been some arrests made and some operatives that have been arrested, et cetera. But you were telling me during one of the breaks here about the mayor here and what an incredible presence he's been in taking on this fight.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Lodgegrass. Yes, we have talked in the past pertaining to the cartel being here in this general area. And what I want to actually say is I applaud the mayor here for his efforts to clean up his area and to also push the Drug Enforcement Administration, push the BIA and FBI to actually come down here and start taking care of business. He said enough is enough. And you know what? Quincy is just a diamond here, and I want to applaud his efforts for what he did. So thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Mayor, it's almost like this is like something out of a movie here. I mean, really, like what you're doing, but it shouldn't be left to you. It shouldn't be left to other folks to have to defend their own towns and their own communities. But in reality, that's what people got to do right now. Mm-hmm. Not just here in Lodgegrass, but in Billings and all across the state right now.
Yeah. Power in numbers. Together. Yeah.
I know the Attorney General was recently, the U.S. Attorney General was recently here, and I'd love to interview some of the Crow tribal leaders who were in on that meeting. But basically, this was why I've been wanting to come down to the grocery store here for some time, because Dylan invited us down, and it's such an honor to be invited here to come do a show like this and to get a catch up with local leaders like you. But he's the Crow secretary, I believe it's Levi Black Eagles, said he told the Attorney General, on parts of the reservation, it's easier to buy drugs than it is to buy groceries. And I thought, and that lit an extra fire underneath my feet to say, we got to get down to Lodgegrass. We got to go do a show down there. I've been wanting to do it anyway. Let's make it happen, because we got to do it, because we got to talk about the importance of grocery stores like this and of local leaders like you. We can talk about the border all day long and U.S. government policy, but it is what it is. Yeah. In the meantime, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to deliver for the people?
You bet. Again, it's finding that common ground of, initially it was stepping in. I seen it as everyone saying, all right, finally, let's go. And then what it ended up kind of being was, go Quincy. And I was like, I looked behind me and there's, about 250 capes. And I was just waiting for people to start grabbing their capes and jumping in. But totally cool. I think people do look to that leader. But again, coming back to identity, who we are in this short time that we're here, What are we going to do? What are we going to stand for? And the values here has always been family with a lot of people, but for the Crows, they have large families. So again, there's that awesome power of when you see people come together. And so we're seeing it. It's just, there's a lot of different things going on. People are busy with their own lives, but yeah, a lot of people stand up.
Dylan Dawson, the new owner here of the Littlehorn Market. Man, tell us about Mayor Quincy here.
So Quincy's a pretty great guy. He's like I told you earlier, he'd be a hard man to keep up with. You know, he's always going, always got something going, and just his charisma and just his vision and just his attitude and just his optimism for this town is amazing. Just to see what he wants to get done. And it's a pleasure to be back in Lodgecast with him. Known him for quite a while, I think probably since he took up took the office, whatever, mayor. We work pretty well together. He calls me one time at 5:30 in the morning and said, "Hey, get hold of your dad." He says, "I think somebody's trying to break into the church." So I call my dad, and dad's like, "Man, Dylan's on his night shift routine. And he doesn't know what time it is." And then he woke up pretty quick when I said, "Hey, I think somebody's breaking into the church." And then praise the Lord, nothing ever happened with that. It just, they were trying, but then it didn't succeed. So
actually, this is a funny story. So he was telling me that, so you gave him the word, "Hey, somebody's trying to break into the church." Apparently they tied off some chains to the door of the church, to the bumper of the pickup, and when they tried to drive off and tear off the doors of the church, their bumper came off instead. So they did not break down the wall, the doors of that church to get in. So
yeah,
that's a crazy story. Well, Stacy's in. Yeah, you made the dream. I think you heard our promo on the radio that we're going to be here, have the microphones open, and of course you retired as the head of the DEA, and now you're one of several folks that are running for Congress in the Eastern Congressional District. But tell us why you wanted to make the trip down here and what you wanted to tell folks across Montana.
I have a passion in my soul for the Crow Reservation. I have been watching from afar for quite some time and trying to figure out how we can support them and help them. When I first arrived in Montana, I dealt a lot with the tribal leadership, and there's a special place in my heart. And when watching the activities taking place, looking to see how drugs had previously grabbed this community, and we put our efforts and got boots on the ground here and gutted the cartel, I'm still watching, and I'm still, you know, trying to coordinate with the people here and want to continue to support the community. And anything I can do to support, I'm here. But when I heard that you're going to be down here, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's just go down there. Let's support the mayor. Let's support IGA. Let's come down here and say, hello, Billings. Hello, Montana. Lodgecast is here and Lodgecast counts. So, yeah.
And when you're driving to Sheridan or Denver or driving back home on along I-90, just take that exit and stop in and say hi to folks. Come down here. He said apparently the deli's well-renowned here, Mayor Quincy. That's what I've heard. They've written about it in newspapers in Denver, about the deli here for some reason. So you got a favorite meal here you eat or anything like that? Or
Chicken strips and cheese.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking chicken strips.
Okay,
yeah.
What kind of cheese? I have to ask. What kind of cheese goes with that?
I think it's a family secret.
Wow, it's just a... dispenser cheese is what it is. Just the kind of spicy nacho cheese comes out of a dispenser.
Perfect.
They love it. It's amazing.
What else do you need? There was something else I was thinking. So when she was talking about just, you know, the special place that is the Crow Nation, frankly, the Crow Reservation. You know, I know Tuff Harris, and he was traveling, or he said he would have been down here with us, but One Heart Warriors, I believe, is the organization that he leads, right? And so basically it's a leadership program. It's a faith-based program that he's leading, working with especially young folks in developing leaders. So, what stands out to you about the work that Tuff Harris is doing to work with, you know, up-and-coming Native American leaders here in Montana?
I think just being that one door that you might think is closed in your life when you're, young and where do I fit in with everything? There's just so much that he has to offer, and it builds family. I mean, if 10 people are in one session of the beginning session, within that first session, which is 2 months, you're already family, just with everything that you're going through, because there's the workouts, 5 a.m. workouts. Those were awesome.
So, outside even too, yeah, right? Outside, yeah. Well, and I think too, just the whole notion of the warrior ethos.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an Iraq, Afghanistan veteran myself, I think that's this brotherhood that we have. And you, by the way, I like your bracelet there as well, by the way. Dylan's got his patriotic sweatshirt on here as well. He's got his Back the Blue wristband on. But just this whole warrior ethos, which is so very strong here. And yeah. I think about it like, okay, this warrior ethos is, yeah, we can fight back against this drug epidemic. Yeah, we can fight back against the drug. Yeah, we can fight to clean up our communities. We can fight to tackle whatever that demon might be in our own lives. And, yeah. And it's all around. It's hitting the gym. It's the warrior ethos by working out. And it's the all around, right? 360.
Yeah. A big thing is family. I've always, okay, before Mayor, just really quick, I want to say, I was kind of studying some Art of War Napoleon stuff. Napoleon Bonaparte had this interesting thing that he said he would send scouts into the cities, and if the families were together, if the men were in the house, if there was a strong family structure, he would leave it alone. He wouldn't waste his time with it. But if the men were in the brothels or in the bars, he would go right in, and his mindset was if he could get enough of that, then it would slowly influence the stronger communities to fold too. So obviously the enemy is always after families. So what do? We got to strengthen our families.
Wow. And
for the girl people, there's something about them. They are strong, but there's been so much oppression. I think they're just in that survival mode. And so I've always envisioned the Crow people as just a huge, huge people united in bringing back that that strong point of family.
Well, and I think we see it. I know we've talked about that as we're talking about news of the day, big picture political issues. I mean, the deliberate targeting to try to break down the American family and how front and center that is to so many of the challenges that we're facing here right now, whether it's drugs or whether it's crime, the youth gang violence. I mean, we haven't even talked about that. That's big in the Hardin-Billings area right now in particular. 12-year-old just got killed within the last couple of weeks. Well, Mr. Mayor, such an honor to chat with you. Thanks so much for coming down and being with us. All right, a quick break here on Montana Talks, live from Lodgegrass. We've got Mr. C.J. Stewart, the Crow Nation Energy Director. Great guy. Looking forward to catching up with him right after this as well.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Key producers across the West, including Montana, now have more certainty after a recent federal court ruling upheld the U.S. Forest Service's authorization of domestic sheep grazing on public lands in the Rio Grande National Forest in Colorado. The decision rejected the argument by Wild Earth Guardians and Western Watersheds Project that the agency failed to adequately analyze potential risks of disease transmission from domestic sheep to wild bighorn sheep, and further enforces that the risk of contact model should never be the sole deciding factor when determining domestic sheep grazing authorization. The decision is an important step, according to the American Sheep Industry Association and National Public Lands Council, to reinforce the agency's discretion when it comes to best management practices and the risk of disease transmission from domestic and wild animals. Looking at livestock markets now, the Vermilion Ranch out of Shepherd, Montana, held their spring bull sale, selling 443 yearling Angus bulls. The average is $8,303, with lot 113 being the top seller at $50,000. Vermilion also held their commercial replacement heifer sale, offering 5,273 head, that averaged $2,176 for those commercial replacement heifers. Today's program is brought to you by Ag Risk Advisors. For more on what they provide producers in the countryside, visit agriskadvisors.com. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. right, we are broadcasting live. We've got the microphones open for you as well, broadcasting live from the Little Horn Market in Lodgegrass, Montana. Such an honor to be here, and so many great friends showing up here. By the way, after the radio show is over, separate from the radio show, we're teaming up with Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're wanting to help you with the high cost of inflation. So we're going to have a grocery store gift card giveaway paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana right after this. So anyway, we know folks are getting hit hard by inflation. So it's going to be fun to be able to do that, offer at least a little bit of help from everything that's going on in our country right now. But anyway, next up, such an honor to catch up with C.J. Stewart. I first got to know C.J. when he was a member of the Crow Tribal Legislature, and now he is the Crow Nation Energy Director. CJ, an honor to see you once again. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, it's good to see you, too.
You've already gotten more work done by 8, 9 a.m. than most people do all day, taking kids to school and getting work done, you name it.
Yeah, definitely. It's busy.
Yeah. Well, I guess tell us from an energy standpoint. I know you and I have chatted, you know, a few times over the years. You know, when we talk inflation and we talk about the economy, energy is a huge economic opportunity for the Crow Nation, obviously with coal, but really so much more, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a while back, we did a study. I had a group from Harvard do a study on the ripple effect of the economics of what the Upsaliga coal mine would do for the region. And so we were, at the time, you know, we approached Washington, D.C. at the time when I was on the legislature there with the executive branch on the Indian Coal Production Tax Credit. And so we were getting that taken care of, and, you know, we were pushing those initiatives. And, you know, it's just, you know, something we continue to do. And, you know, it's just, we try to put ourselves in a position, you know, the tribe, and, you know, in a way we can help the region. And those studies were done to prove that. And we got ripple effects all the way out to the, you know, fifth degree, and, you know, just, you know, bringing billions to the region, you know, just in our little coal mine. You know, not just direct jobs, but, you know, someone has to take out the trash, someone has to deliver the parts and products and stuff like that. And so, you know, it just the study went out, and we had it done by an Ivy League school, and it was something that people had to pay attention to.
Yeah, we've seen this kind of war on American energy in the last few years in particular. But I guess talk just in general, the Trump policy, Trump was president. Of course, we had Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke from Montana at the time. And then when Joe Biden becomes president, differences the same, just from your standpoint as a pro nation, how have the policies been different? How have the impacts been different?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny you bring that up. You know, it's night and day. You know, under the Trump administration, of course, you know, I was, you know, working as a consultant in D.C., you know, and I was pinned for a position with Ryan, with Secretary Zinke. And, you know, we, when you take a look at Indian country, you know, 60% of all fossil fuels are in Indian country. You know, the control of all fossil fuels in this nation, 60% of it is, you know, in and on, you know, Indian country. Same way with the Cree and critical minerals. The rare earth elements, as it is, it's an acronym. And 90% of all rare earth elements are in Indian country. So, I mean, we fight, we always continue to fight to have a place at the table, you know, and it's something that, like I brought it up before, you know, on the reservation, if you have 1,000 acres or even any acres, if you have 51% ownership or anything, that gives you 51% say-so over that property. But not in Native Americans' case. You know, you got 60% of the nation's fossil fuel resource controlled by Indian country, and yet we're not at the table.
You're getting stuck with and more it takes more red tape, more hurdles to develop those resources and provide those economic opportunities for your people as well. And do I remember right when the Biden administration came in the White House, whether there's a Democrat president, whether there's a Republican president? And for those who missed my question earlier, I had my mic off. I apologize. I was asking about the differences between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. But do I remember right that then when the Biden administration came in for their White House Tribal Energy Summit, they didn't even invite you, or they didn't want you to have a seat at the table, something to that effect? It kind of goes back to that whole night and day difference, right?
Well, it's when you look at the Indian Energy Act, you know, the laws and the policies that established the Indian Energy Office, it was geared to help all Indian energy, you know, not just, and the law says it, you know, all Indian energy, including fossil fuels. But there's no regard for folks like us, you know, that want to continue to, you know, move forward with our resources. And the Crow Tribe being the largest private co-owner in the nation, you know, we own 3% of the world, you know, the 10% of the nation, 3% of the world. And we, you know, in our greatest moments, you know, in our production, we were only able to average 6.5 million tons a year. I got a cold.
It's just good to see it. Big picture too, talking about, you know, because when we talk about this war on American energy and then we talk about the Bidenflation and the inflation that we've seen, you know, mainly because of the Biden administration's massive government spending. And it's amazing how much of that government spending doesn't make it back here, you know, to this neck of the woods, but yet it's going to all these other countries all over the world, right? But you know, so we see massive inflation. I think about it. Here we are at the grocery store in Lodgegrass. And I think you and I may have talked about this before, where it's like, okay, if I'm in Billings or Missoula or Kalispell, I've got Winco, Albertsons, Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club, Poly Food Mart, gas stations all over the place to go buy my products to try to, you know, find the... When you live out here in South Central and Southeast Montana, rural Montana, period, not only, you're blessed to have a grocery store in town. Not every small town even has a grocery store, right? Yeah. But then on top of that, you're paying more in gas prices just to get to and from. And you might be 20, 30 miles just to get one way to the grocery store. So 40, 60 plus to do a round trip. So folks out here in this neck of the woods are getting hit even harder by inflation than sometimes folks in town, in the bigger towns are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like right now with the administration, with the tribe, you know, with our chairman and our leadership, you know, we at the time when Chairman Frank Whiteclay got in office, you know, we kind of got hit different areas with the Biden administration in some regard. And so because of our push for coal and stuff, and, you know, we want to explore areas of, you know, CCUS and things of that nature. And, you know, we have ideas and plans to continue utilizing our resources. But at the time, you know, they would always say, get on, you know, get grants. But I'd say we need coal to get out of coal, if that's going to be the case. You know, in my reasoning, it's 85% of our grants are matching grants, you know. So if you don't have no resource revenue because you don't have no resource production, then you don't have no grants. And then to try to put the nail in the coffin, they put us on a critical high risk, meaning that we can't even go after grants. And
really?
So, yeah, and then they reached out, you know, and fortunately we have a chairman that's very diligent, and he moved forward with, you know, their demands for audits all the way back to 2012. They got it cleared up, and about a month ago, the chairman, you know, gave the announcement to some of us, and, you know, he was going to make another one. But we're out of the critical high risk, you know, through his diligence and hard work. I mean, it's...
Look at how hard you have to fight, though, just to provide economic opportunities here on the Crow Nation.
Right? Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's what I was getting to, is, you know, the fight that we have to... You look at some of the Supreme Court, you know, rulings that, you know, fell in our favor. And then you think back and you think, gosh, everybody else gets these, you know, these rights and privileges on a daily, and yet we have to get a Supreme Court ruling to to get that, you know, to get that right and privilege back.
We've got people streaming across our southern border right now. Our federal government has treaty obligations to protect the borders of the Crow Nation as well. And yet you have to fight the same government that's allowing illegals to invade our borders and your borders just to do business, just to provide economic. It is absolutely insane to me what is going on right now under this administration. Insane. All right. Well, we got to take another quick break here on Montana Talks. Come see us if you're in the Lodgegrass area. We are set up at the Little Horn Market here in Lodgegrass, otherwise known as the Lodgegrass IGA as well. That's where we're at.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, as promised, we open up the microphones for you as well. And it's great to see State Senator Brad Molnar, who is now running for the Public Service Commission, is in the House. He made the drive here to Lodgegrass as well, so we'll check in with him here in just a second. But first, I wanted to go back to C.J. Stewart, the Crow Nation Energy Director. C.J., again, an honor to see you this morning. Anything else you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Well, you know... the Crow tribe, we're an all above energy and approach, and you know, we have the resources, the land, and so we're not just, you know, necessarily just pushing coal, but you know, coal is our livelihood, and it's definitely, like you said, you know, something that's going to keep jobs and revenue and food on the table, and that's definitely what we've been working hard and really striving to do in our leadership. And our leadership's been really working hard to try to rework, you know, get things situated, you know, so in that way we can at least start pulling funding that's been sitting 4 or 5 years back. And so just wanted to give, you know, share that with everyone that, you know, the Crow tribe is ready to go and we're open for business.
It's amazing to think about how quickly things could change once again if a new administration comes in this next January, and how quickly those doors could open again for Crow Coal and this all the above energy strategy. By the way, I checked with him. He is related to Coach Stewart as well. So Coach Josh Stewart is your nephew, and then your brother was one of the legends from the late 80s on the Lodgegrass Indians back then as well. He's here, so that's great to see. But I know Coach Stewart, he's going to be coming down here, but everybody just got back from Denver, big event in Denver over the weekend, and so looking forward to catching up with him. Even if he makes it down after we wrap up the show today, I'll do an interview with him. We can share it tomorrow or later this week on the show. So, again, C.J. Stewart, thanks again for coming down to see us.
Thank you.
All right. State Senator Brad Molnar, you actually called in and kind of gave us a preview of the news. You served on the Public Service Commission before. You were actually the vice chair of the PSC at one point, and you're running for the PSC again. But thanks for making the trip to Lodgegrass. Tell us why you wanted to come down to Lodgegrass today.
Well, for one thing, this is part of my new district, assuming I get reelected. And it's part of my old district, so I know a lot of people here. But before, a couple of days ago, I figured I'd be here. I started talking to Jason Small, who's the senator from here, and he is also now the head of the FL-CIO.
Yeah.
I wanted to know about the coal industry here. You know, coal, you know, Crow Coal, as we used to call it. Well, the Absaroka mine is shut down, and the Big Metal mine is shut down. As the Big Metal mine is being revegetated, it's being reclaimed, so... he tells me that there's no plans for reopening any of this. On my way down here, you were talking about fentanyl and how big it is on the reservation. Well, it's not just the reservation.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, in
Montana,
in big spikes. And across the nation, across Montana, if you have high unemployment and low hope of changing that, you're going to have drug problems. You know, before fentanyl, you had meth before.
But
meth.
Even we've got low unemployment right now, and we're still having a problem with gang activity and more.
Well, coal, for a long time, was the light at the end of the tunnel. People could work, make good money, raise their families. And through policy, mainly federal policy, we've lost that. So this area is a victim of that. Yet, the Montana Democratic Party says they can spend $1 million organizing reservations for Tester. Well, how does that help? If they're going to shut down the industries and destroy dreams and make us dependent on undependable energy, why would you, for any amount of money or any amount of organization, say that's a good idea?
Well, look at the areas that are being, everywhere is being hit by fentanyl. You're right. Everywhere in Montana is being hit by the open borders policies. Mm-hmm. But much harder hit here in places mm-hmm. like Lodge. That's why the mayor was telling us he started concealed carry, and they started cleaning up their town, and they started taking. And meanwhile, you got to beg the feds for resources to fight the drug cartels that are being allowed to flood into this country on a daily basis. And yeah, I talked with Jason Small, great guy, fellow state senator of yours, termed out, I believe, but he was the first, I believe, not only Republican, but Native American elected executive secretary of the AFL-CIO here in Montana. And so he's the current executive secretary. But, yeah, I talked with him, and it was like, you know, you look at the Bidenflation, you know, that Joe Biden and John Tester's massive spending is causing all of this inflation, causing everything to be this expensive. And it's like, who's getting hit the most by it? And that's what he and I were talking about, because he's Northern Cheyenne member. And it's like, yeah, folks in rural Montana and on the reservations, they're getting hit the hardest by all of this.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. Jason sat one seat over from me between us was Senator from Libby. So he and I talked all the time. There were a lot of times we'd meet in the hallway and just lean up on the wall and we'd talk these things. And when it came to energy concerns, he is the point of the spear. He knows what he's talking about. He follows it. He lives it. He was a pipe fitter at Colstrip.
Yeah.
You know, and he, along with quite a few other unions, including one I belong to, readily acknowledge that well over half of the members are Republicans.
Yeah. What he was telling me is most of the union members now believe the same way you and I do mm-hmm. on most things now, and we're out of time, unfortunately, but Senator Molnar, thanks for coming down, and yeah, he's running for the Public Service Commission once again here, but yeah, he was telling me what you were just saying, which is most of the union, the working folks, the members, think the same way you and I do, but the leadership in a lot of these outfits are still pushing this radical, hardcore, left-wing, partisan agenda. Right. So, yeah, no, interesting stuff. Senator Molnar, good to see you. Thanks for coming down to Lodgegrass. Come see us. We're doing our gift card giveaway.